We're going to try and get to the bottom of that. I know this is going to be a tough job, but so I've asked my friend Cameron Day to come on the show so we can discuss this. Now, Cameron was born to American parents who are practicing Buddhists. His parents are very open-minded and loving people who gave him the best possible start in life for expanding consciousness. And in the second grade, he realized he was from another reality, simply dreaming a dream in this world that he would one day wake up from. Around that time, he had his first lucid dream of being back home in a world of indescribable beauty, a world where everyone and everything emanated pure, gentle, divine light. I've been there, folks. I know about that place. The knowledge that this amazing transcendental existence was his true home sustained him through the many challenges he has experienced in this incarnation on the planet Earth. And so now let's welcome Cameron Day to the show. Cameron, thank you for being on hold for so long.
Hi, Robert. Yeah, no problem. I was really enjoying listening to all those reports of creepy ankle biter sightings.
Yeah, I know. So for people who've never heard that term, ankle biters is another term for what not many other people call Archon, or whatever these things are, these parasitic entities that covertly live among us and seem to feed off of negative emotions. I mean, it really doesn't matter what we call them, right? It's what they do to us.
Yeah, it kind of does matter what you call them in a way, because Archon means lord or ruler. So that word essentially puts them in a position of power over the person who's referring to them as that.
Right.
In a similar way, if you're in a courtroom and you call a judge Your Honor.
Right.
Or if you're speaking to a king or a queen and they're Your Highness, it's a similar type of a feel to it. And so I noticed when I would call them ankle biters that they would get angry. And when they're angry, they're easier to spot, they're easier to sense, and they are easier to essentially deal with. So being disrespectful to them, I found, is actually a very useful tool.
Well, sure. And or disobeying their directives. I do think that's a good thing. As was noted by the mental health professional that contacted me recently, I was very shocked when he was discussing that, you know, part of the therapy, the unaccepted therapy that he's been implementing with some of these people who are schizophrenic, people who hear voices. Folks, that's what we're talking about here. If you don't know what schizophrenia is, it's a real problem. I mean, deadly serious problem. So he suggested doing exactly the opposite of what they want, and yes, it makes them very angry.
Right. And so somebody's in the state of what's called schizophrenia, in my perspective, they had some form of weakness that the ankle biters exploited to gain more and more influence over their mind. Now, the average person is still being influenced by them, but at a level beneath our general awareness, or beneath most people's awareness. And they usually come in the form of ego-based impulses, because they are essentially wired in a sense, or at a resonant frequency to the human ego. So they send a little idea, like, oh yeah, go ahead and, you know, steal that thing, for example, and somebody shoplifts and gets caught, and they don't really know why they did it. It was just an impulse, but they acted on it. And so those strange little impulses to do something that's out of your character is one example of the ways that they influence people. So a schizophrenic person essentially began giving into those little impulses, and little bit by little bit, they lost their sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And the ankle biters gain more and more traction in their mind, and they love having that level of control over a human being, and that it gives them a real rush, in a sense, to have a human that's their puppet, in a sense.
Well, I think they also, some of the description is that they treat us more like cattle, that they're actually feeding off of the negative emotions that they often manipulate us to have.
Yeah, I definitely think that's very accurate. That's how they see us, of course. But at the same time, it's really interesting, because I've been dealing with these critters for pretty much my whole life. Because one of the advantages that they have over us is that they're outside of time to an extent. So they can look at a person at various points on their timeline and then find an inflection point to trip them up or to influence them.
I see.
And so they've been checking up on me. The first time I ever saw one probably would have been about 5, maybe 6. And I noticed it. I could see it very clearly, even though my eyes were closed and I was wide awake. But it was just right there, hovering over my bed. And it was black and red, and it kind of undulated around a central axis, in a sense, but also kind of folded into itself and then back out of itself.
Wow.
Because essentially they're in the next density up. They're in fourth density. So
yeah,
the geometries there are different than they are here. And it definitely didn't give me a good feeling. It didn't feel like it was like an angel or any type of bodhisattva or pleasant entity. So I told it to go away, and it did.
Uh-huh.
But what they do is they simply stay out of your realm of perception. Obviously, they don't want you to perceive them, because their greatest strength is that humanity doesn't believe that they're there.
Well, and yeah, clearly we don't always see them or photograph them, but that seems to be changing. And that's what I find quite unusual, that I don't know why this is occurring, but like I said, not only are we getting that, now suddenly this mental health professional comes forward and tells me he's got 35 years of information of dealing with these entities in a correctional, sometimes in, you know, just a mental health facility. But it's like, and this person is, I just find this kind of ironic. Why are they coming to me to help get the message out? I'll be blunt about it. It's because the mental health profession simply forbids this person from addressing it for what it really is.
Right.
Which is, it's got to be the work of these demons, or whatever you want to call them.
Well, essentially, and see, also they very skillfully manipulated humans throughout eons of time to, one, not be able to perceive them, and to feel like we know everything.
Sure.
And the mindset, that arrogant, ego-based mindset of psychiatry, is that, oh yeah, we can treat anything with a drug. We just have to, you know, find the right combination for that person.
Right.
And so that drug-based treatment model is rendered pretty much invalid if there's an actual external force imposing itself on these people.
Yeah, apparently, according to this professional, that the medication is, it can help keep them from the individual who's being possessed or manipulated from being violent or hazardous, especially in a correctional facility. But ultimately, this does nothing to address the problem, the real underlying problem. And he was able to, as I said, you know, by trial and error, actually find what works to push these things away and keep them at bay and minimize the influence that they're having. I mean, they're so insidious about this. Even for people who are schizophrenic, who know that these voices are not their own, the creatures are really good at not only putting a guilt trip on us, but also making themselves sound like they are really our thought forms, or someone who's passed over that we know, you know, that they were probably attached to, a family member, and they can mimic those voices in our heads.
Yeah, they're actually very, very skilled manipulators and shape changers too. So they can look, well, especially the ones higher up on the, let's say, the hierarchy.
Uh-huh.
Can make themselves look and appear in all kinds of disguises, including looking like angels.
Oh.
Yeah, which is, you know, opens up a whole other bag of worms. But the thing to be aware of with them is that, yeah, there isn't just one type. They can look like anything from insects to, you know, like especially like the creepy crawly type of insects, anything that'll kind of gross you out. They like to look like that. They look like, of course, like those blobby things. Those are the kind of the low-level harvesters,
Okay.
those blobs that float around.
Yeah.
And then, and I'm not, I don't have their entire taxonomy mapped out, but further up the food chain, so to speak, are the ones that essentially can shapeshift, but they kind of enjoy looking reptilian, I think,
Okay.
because it's kind of a creepy look for humans
Sure.
to observe and to see them. Sometimes they look like big black winged demons, again, because it's a kind of a scary, powerful appearance. So when somebody sees that, they recoil in fear. And that
Yeah.
gives them, again, a little bit of an advantage.
Right. So if they're not being hidden, they're trying to intimidate us with their appearance. And one of the other things in a recent communication from this professional, he mentions here a book from someone claiming to be a Toltec shaman. And the book is called Beyond Fear: A Toltec Guide to Freedom and Joy by Don Miguel Ruiz. And I just got to briefly quote here from this book as it was it actually became part of the therapy, or the therapeutic curriculum that this individual in the correctional system, he was applying this covertly for the benefit of his fellow man. Ugh, what a world. Anyway, he says here, humans are not the only, and this again, he's quoting, this professional is quoting from the book by Don Miguel Ruiz. He says, humans are not the only beings with powerful minds. Attached to humanity are unseen beings that are also an organ of the earth. They share the metabolism of the earth just as humans do. These beings form a spectrum from benevolent to harmful. They've been present alongside the human race from the beginning. The destiny of these beings and that of human is intertwined. The Toltecs call them allies. The allies lack a brain, which means they have no factory to create emotions, but they need the ethereal energy of emotions to sustain their life. Allies push humans to create traumas in order to create fear, which they feed upon. And then, so unquote there. And then the author, this health professional, says that he says that in the book, Mr. Ruiz said that humans are in a similar relationship to these entities as cows are to humans. He pointed out that humans take in energy from sunlight through food, and that has already been processed by other living beings, such as plants and animals. Our brain then transforms the material energy into ethereal energy of our emotions. This emotional energy then supplies food for our minds and for the allies. The allies must then convert emotion into the negative emotion on which they feed. He says, these allies have no mechanism to produce the negative emotional energy themselves. So, like parasites, they had to turn human emotional energy into negative energy before they could harvest it. In order to turn human emotion negative, human emotion to the negative, the allies are capable of putting fearful thoughts into the minds of humans, which in turn generates this negative emotion on which they feed. So this is where this fits perfectly the schizophrenic model, the psychotic voices, etc., and these kind of negative emotions that come up around it. So, I was kind of done with this, Cameron. I really was. I thought I was moving on to something else. Now, I wouldn't say more important, but when I got, shortly after I got these messages from this mental health professional, my partner in Washington, D.C., Mr. Allen, calls me up and he says, he's like, Bob, man, I'm freaking out. I saw that thing again and I didn't have my camera, but it was practically right over my house, and it was very discomforting to him. I mean, this is a guy who was allegedly abducted as a child by the Greys and implanted. And yet something like, something like that black blob, really unnerved him. So,
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because that's essentially the frequency that they exist in is the frequency of fear. And like that quote mentioned, they feed on that frequency of fear. I do think, however, that they are intelligent. They have minds. In fact, they're incredibly shrewd, at least at the higher levels of the hierarchy. The lower ones, yeah, they're kind of mindless. It's kind of like amoebas.
But it's a different kind of mind. It's a collective mind, Cameron. From my understanding, even bacteria is intelligent, but not with an individual consciousness the way we understand it. It's a collective.
Right, especially lower down. Now, the ones higher up on the food chain, they do have individual, let's say, personalities and pretty big egos, in fact.
Sure.
And what I mean by that is that even though they operate in secret, part of the work that I do, and a big part actually, is to remove these beings from the fourth density zone around the planet. Because until that fourth density area is cleaned up and repatterned or retemplated, third density is going to continue to experience their machinations. And so when I can encounter one of the bosses, let's say, on the hierarchy, they're very stubborn, very difficult to get them to relent, essentially, to give up the hold that they've had, the power that they've had, because they've essentially been like little mafia dons in a sense. and the thing is that when they're up for, let's say, processing and removal from the planet, what I do is I have my allies from the light take them to the galactic core to be transmuted. Or if they refuse that option, they're held in a containment facility, let's say. But before they leave, they want to be acknowledged for how clever, shrewd, manipulative, and powerful that they have been. They want that final like stroking of their ego to be acknowledged that, yes, you were great and powerful, and you fooled people, and you ruled people, and you caused all this havoc, and made humans do things they normally would never have done without the influence of you and your minions. Yes, good job. You screwed a whole bunch of things up. You caused a whole lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. You were a bad mother when you were here. Okay, is that good enough for you? And they're like, yeah, okay, that's good enough. And then, okay, it's time to leave now, time to go. And then the good guys, my allies, I call them the forces of divine light.
Right.
They escort them away, and then they either choose to transmute into positive frequency, or they stay negative. And like I said, they're held in a containment center until this planet is free, and then they can go to a planet that actually wants to experience them, because there are planets that do have negative societies and negatively oriented cultures that want their experience. So they would be symbiotic on a planet that is chosen to express itself via the negative service to self path.
Wow. Okay.
But for us, they're parasitic.
Sure.
So they don't belong here. But on another planet that actually is choosing that experience, for the populace on that planet, these beings would actually form a symbiotic partnership.
Wow. Since you mentioned gangsters, one of the documents that the mental health professional sent me out of his archive was it's called entitled Gangster Spirits. So yeah, we're obviously on the same page here regarding these things. And as far as the work that you do, if people want to reach you, your website is www.ascensionhelp.com. That's all one word, ascensionhelp.com. And again, we're speaking with Cameron Day, and he has over 10 years of experience in remote energy work, and he has some really, truly profound clearing techniques when it comes to these entities. You know, and Cameron, as I was reading your bio and thinking about what you do, I was flashing back on how I became aware of these entities. It's felt like accidental to me at the time, but when I was 24, I was 24, working at the beach there, working security in Malibu, and that boy. That ran into the boy that ran into the glass door. He clearly was possessed, and I didn't know it at the time. Okay, but I knew as I was afterwards, after I called the paramedics to come and make sure he didn't bleed to death. I was talking to his grandmother, and she was telling me some things about him, and I knew that he was hearing voices. She didn't have to tell me. I knew that's what was happening to him, and it just gave me the worst chill. And at that moment, when I recognized what was going on with these entities, they attacked. I mean, they got so mad at me. They were so pissed off that I had interrupted their little feeding frenzy. And I mean, it was deadly serious at that point. That kid could have easily bled to death, you know, and I don't think they would have cared much, but...
oh, no, not at all.
But here's the upshot of all that. If that hadn't happened, God forbid that happens to anybody, but if I hadn't been right in the middle of it, I would have never been compelled to go up into the mountains and meditate and literally leave this dimension behind. I know I was gone for hours, but it felt like, for some reason, I can only remember a few moments of it. Just enough to know that when I read the description from your bio about your home, that is my home too. And I say home because when I was there in the light, the person that I met, that the only person I remember meeting there was this radiant being, a man. And he said to me, I looked at him and I was thinking to myself, wow, who's that? And he says to me, I'm your father. I'm like, what? I mean, what are you saying, buddy? You don't look anything like my father. You kind of look like Jesus, but you don't look like my dad, you know? I mean, and it utterly baffled me. And the very next thing I knew, I was sitting bolt upright. I mean, and it felt like no time had passed, really. It felt like, you know, it felt like I was just having a crazy kind of a... Well, when I laid down after meditating for hours, basically calling for help because I mean, I didn't know what to do. I was being attacked by these things and they wouldn't leave me alone. So I meditated and I really only was focused on one thought, and that was love. And I was broadcasting that. I was using the meditation technique of Om. I was practicing that. And I was using that as a carrier frequency, like a beacon. And I was broadcasting that up into the Milky Way. And I was just thinking one thought only was love, because I knew I'd experienced truly something evil. And it was obviously very unhappy with me. So that was my, instinctively, that's what I was found myself doing on this mountain. And as I, after doing this for hours, I got really tired and I laid down on cement. And I just laid down. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning and I was really tired, but I laid down and I know I wasn't asleep, and I certainly know I wasn't dreaming, because it takes quite a while for your body to relax enough that you can get into the dream state. But I immediately felt myself floating up and into light. I mean, and that's all it was. To me, it was just light. And I knew I was safe there. I was very confident that they, whatever these things were, and in my mind's eye, actually, they look like black ticks. I mean, that was the shape. That was the shape I was intuiting, and turns out it's, you know, fairly accurate. But anyway, anyway, when I was in the light, I knew I was safe. But then when I saw someone coming or something coming towards me, immediately I was on guard. You know, like, uh-oh, who is that? What is that? You know, and then it was, who is that? And I'll tell you what, this guy, even though I was in the light, this man, when you talk about people emanating a light, this guy was radiating a light that was even brighter than the environment that we were in. Mm-hmm. Even the center of his eyes, there was light coming out of his eyes. And I was so shocked by, I mean, this was not what I was expecting, you know, really took me by surprise. And I was on 100% alert, but I didn't feel threatened by him. But I was, God, I mean, I was so shocked when he says he was my father, because that made no sense at all, you know? And then he, I guess he thought it was kind of amusing, my state of confusion, because look, here I am calling for help, here I am receiving the help, and now I'm acting like, you know, hey, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is kind of childish, I guess, is to him, his way of thinking. Maybe it was cute, I don't know, but... I was completely baffled, and it took me years, to be honest, decades, before I could actually comprehend what that was all about. And I really think that they blocked my memory, too. In fact, I'm sure of it. And the reason they did that is because of the conflict that's raging here.
I think that's part of it. Also, is that when you're in a higher density, fourth density in the upper levels, and even fifth density, it's so different from third density that it's difficult to retain full memory of experiences that occur there.
Right.
So they didn't even necessarily have to block anything. It's just your 3D mind only could hang on to little pieces of it. But it's interesting that you mentioned that you were perceiving them as tics, because that was something when I was a teenager, around 19, maybe 20, I noticed that, because I was kind of practicing seeing auras, but mostly what I would see would be these gray blobs on people or on cars. And they wouldn't be on every car, but they'd be on about, maybe a third of the vehicles that would drive by. And when I, when I focused just right, I could see these blobs just, hooked on top of the car. Or, on certain people, you could see this gray blob parked basically on top of their head.
Wow.
And then through later years doing energy work and energy clearings on people, essentially what they do is wedge themselves right in on top of your head to try to distance you from your higher self.
Wow.
Because at some point during childhood, when children are taught that they're, wrong or bad or essentially not divine,
mm-hmm.
at a certain point, your higher self adheres to your belief that you're not divine, that you don't have divinity within you, and it parks itself up above your head, waiting to be reunited with you, waiting for you to open back up to it. And over time, the ankle biters wedge themselves into that space, attempting to block your higher self's emanations and transmissions to you more and more, so that they can be the ones transmitting to you. Mm-hmm. So when those get pulled out, and then you bring your higher self back down to essentially rest on the top of your head, so that it can begin merging back into your body and seating itself in your heart, which is where its true home is. That's where it truly resides.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you gain a significant level of immunity to them. But even then, you still have to be on guard, because they're waiting to kind of trick you or trip you up, and looking for that inflection point where they can tilt you off balance just enough so that you're angry or emotional or judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, that's food for them, and that's all they really care about is food.
Right. Very basic. Very basic.
They're very basic. Yeah.
Wow. So when you talk about the higher self, do you mean the human soul?
In a sense, yes. That's a decent term for it. It's the real you.
Right.
As
yeah.
The you that is eternal, that is pure, and let's say never mistakenly believing that it's separate from its source.
Right. Right. Understood. Well, like I said, it took me quite a while to come to some awareness. Because I really believe the information is still there, but there's part of me that it just simply, or maybe even it's these entities that are blocking part of my ability to remember what had happened, because obviously that wouldn't be too good for them. I think they're doing that to all of us to some degree.
Yes, absolutely. Right. There were several major incursions into the human genome via their third density partners, because like I said, there's planets out there where the third density society is negative or service to self.
Right.
These are very aggressive, warlike, unpleasant beings to have an engagement with.
Right.
But they've raided this planet on several occasions throughout human history.
Mm-hmm.
And in various interventions altered the human genome, altered human DNA.
Right.
To stunt our awareness and our expression of ourselves, so that the awareness and self-knowledge that a human being would normally have is missing. So and that makes us easier to control.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it seems to be working masterfully, but I think something's cracking here in the facade. As I said, or we wouldn't be talking about it. And all these other people, like I said, it was just weird how a series of events with the this professional mental health expert contacting me and then my partner seeing this thing. And then so I decided to just take a look, you know. And within the whole UFO database, there was this plethora of reports of the same entity or entities, objects, whatever. I mean, they're not objects. They're creatures. That's how typically they're described. And people are struggling to try and describe them. And yet, I mean, you know, it's such a big deal, Cameron. If human beings find another species in the forest, they're like, wow, look, we found a tree frog. You know, it's amazing. But, and yet this microphone is so sensitive. If we find that there is this covert entity that's literally popping in and out of our reality and sucking off of the energy out of us, it's like, I think something must have shifted because we're at least finally having the conversation. Okay, I wasn't the first, but you know, I think you and I are pioneers in this regard that we are starting to address it in a way that some people are seeing it's okay to talk about it now. It's time for us to recognize that these creatures are not serving us whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to take awareness of them in order to overcome them. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that, yes, some things have shifted, and that's definitely the case. There's a large contingent of positive beings on fourth density that are stationed now around the planet and have been transforming the fourth density templates from darkness back into light-based templates. Mm-hmm. And we essentially have the planet surrounded in light. And there's a thin layer anywhere from a few hundred feet to a few miles up, depending on the location, where the old frequencies of these beings are still pretty well intact for the most part. Mm-hmm. But they've been squeezed down into a much tighter space to operate in than they've ever had. So they are under duress, and they are becoming more aggressive because of that. Mm-hmm. So there's more exposure of them, people sighting them when they normally would have stayed hidden.
Oh.
And then there's also more instances of them doing, let's say, bad deeds through people because they are desperate to cultivate more energy so they can try to fight back and push back out and re-expand their territory that they're holding right now.
Right. Right. I got an email from here. It's from one of the listeners. Yes, folks, I will take your phone calls. I've just been very preoccupied and I'm sorry about that. I just I'm just getting started with a new system. Okay, it's really different from what I was doing before, and it's a little more complicated. Not to complain. I mean, look, I wanted this. I've got it. And I'm doing it for a reason. I really think it's time for us to discuss matters like this. It's yes, the phone number is there for a reason. You're welcome to call in. If I don't answer it this time, I promise you, this isn't the last show. We're going to do this again, and I'll make it a lot easier for people. In fact, I'm thinking about adding an extra phone line on here just to make it easier for people to call in, because I know there's a lot of folks. You know what? I just realized that my Skype connection said I was off in another place. That's odd. Anyway, like I said, there's too much going on here in the studio. Sometimes it distracts me from the conversation. I'm sorry about that, Cameron. It's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because you're the only person I know that's out there actively talking about these particular creatures and how to counter them, or what can be done, or what is being done, not only just by humans, but by our counterparts in other dimensions. Because I really, you know, I think you've been very clear about it, and I've come to the awareness that these things really are not 3D.
Oh, no. That's one of their big advantages, is that they're in fourth density, which allows them a tremendous amount of flexibility and navigation abilities so that they can hide from us. They can stay outside of our perception. Because once upon a time, way back when human beings were first generated by the planet, they emerged with tremendous awareness, and the cultures that precipitated from that all were based on that original human template as produced through Gaia, which is the template that's used throughout most of the Milky Way, which is why most ETs generally look humanoid. But as that perfected template was experienced, human beings had tremendous awareness in fourth density, and we could essentially tell these beings to move along. You're not welcome here.
Right.
And they didn't have any toehold on our planet. So that's the original template that we are needing to restore so that humans have that awareness restored to them, returned to them. That's not exactly my biggest role. My main role is essentially rounding the ankle biters up and moving them out. I joke sometimes that I'm kind of like a galactic janitor. But I think a better description might be a galactic cop, because if you're a janitor, the stains on the toilet don't really fight back. So more like a cop. And honestly, the nature of these beings is essentially very criminal.
Right.
They love to destroy free will. They love to turn free will upon itself and get human beings to destroy themselves or destroy their lives, and to generally create as much suffering and chaos as possible.
Yeah.
Now, of course, then we get into the global elite who are in third density, who are told in early levels of their initiations that they will be able to control these demons, that they will subdue them and bend them to their will.
Right.
Which is a lie and a deception that is put there so that through that process of attempting to control these demons and bend them to their will, they actually become enslaved to them.
Right.
And become their vessels for expression. Now, they think it's a valid payoff because they get certain little perks, certain little bonuses. Obviously, they get physical wealth and power.
Right.
And they also, they get a bit of, let's say, a bit of psychic boosting as well from these beings.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they're given trinkets in exchange for total enslavement.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not a fair exchange, and it's not a wise maneuver. So, you know, it seems to me that these things are like a spiritual virus, insinuating themselves into our... Well, if they're blocking our souls from truly, you know, being here now, and it's I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It sounds like they are an infection.
Yeah. In fact, I often refer to it as the infection of darkness. Because it required the infection required human beings to become traumatized.
Yeah.
In order to get an initial toehold. And that came about through a cataclysmic accident that occurred in the far, far, far distant past that traumatized the remaining human survivors sufficiently for these ankle biters to begin to influence people subtly, because that awareness of fourth density began to diminish because people were focused on physical third density survival.
Yeah.
And that allowed them to get their initial toehold. Then as time went on, the diminished humans were not able to protect and defend the planet against third density aggressors. And there were a few waves of what I call essentially space pirates, these negative third density and fourth density ETs. But the third density ETs are the ones that actually did the genetic manipulation.
Right.
And you know, and then things have gotten progressively worse for humans during that whole process. So, but the initial infection of darkness is a very accurate metaphor.
Sure. Yeah, and but there is help. I mean, this is going to be resolved, at least here on this world, in the near future, according to what you see.
Yes, definitely. Help is here. We're working pretty much nonstop on clearing out the fourth density realm.
Mm-hmm.
They are contained. They are slowly losing their power.
Hmm.
And they're also, we're destroying their fourth density templates and structures, which is kind of my favorite part of my job, is to smash their toys. Yeah, don't ever hurt the beings themselves, especially the ones that are conscious, let's say.
Yeah.
They're always given the option to come into the light, to be transmuted and transformed. Because essentially, like, everything, as we know, comes from a singular source. So somewhere along the way, consciousness had the idea to experiment with darkness or the extreme edges of separation consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten addicted to that consciousness, but that doesn't mean that they are rejected or even vilified from the ultimate source's perspective.
Right.
So from our perspective, I give them the option to return to the light or even stay in the form that they want to stay in.
Hmm.
So their free will is honored to a point. Now, obviously, their free will to rape and pillage and destroy here on Earth,
mm-hmm.
that is not on the table. They don't have free will to continue doing what they're doing.
Right.
But I do give them the option to transmute or stay the same. And even when they're in the, I call it the containment zone or the transition zone, when they're there, they're still given the opportunity to transmute at a regular interval.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, and eventually, I don't know when, I wish it would hurry up, but
yeah.
Apparently we can only work so fast. See, the thing is also, fourth density time is very different. It's almost...
Right.
Non-existent, it more relates to events than linear time, in a sense.
Yeah.
So a series of events occurs within a coordinate, and that is an experience, let's say.
Right.
I can't even really give a good verbal definition of it, because I don't honestly fully understand it myself, but... I do know that when I operate in those realms, a whole lot of stuff happens, and then it seems like no time has passed here at all.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it seems like time can drag on here while maybe not too much happens there. Hmm. So there's no linear conversion. Like you can't say 2 minutes here is 10 hours there or vice versa.
Right. Yeah, well, believe me, I understand how that works, but speaking of time, I need to get up very early tomorrow morning, so I'd love to have you back to continue the conversation, especially as things evolve here with us and you know, our family in the other dimensions. And again, I would urge people to go to your website at www.ascensionhelp.com, and if you want to speak directly to Cameron, and if you need assistance, he's there for that purpose. And you know, I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight on such short notice. I apologize for being so. I just like I'm just winging it right now. Actually, what's been going on is sort of it's just taking me by surprise. Actually,
well, sometimes winging it is really the best way to go, because your higher self can see way further down the line than we can. So,
right, right.
I say good job.
Yeah. All right. Well. Yeah. Thanks again.
Those are real.
Oops. I'm sorry. It may sound simple, folks, but it's not. This is like flying an airplane. Sometimes all the instrument panels. Okay. Well. Again, Cameron. People can reach you at your website, ascensionhelp.com, and please keep up the good work and keep in contact with me on any new developments.
I sure will, Robert. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, folks, for listening in. I apologize for the little glitches that we encounter along the way. I promise it's not going to continue like this. It's a learning curve. Running it all by myself here is a blessing and a curse, you know. But we're getting through it, and I hope you enjoyed this show as much as I did. And if you find it interesting, please share this archive with your friends. And please stay tuned to the Unicus Radio Network. Sound for your soul. Until next time, good night. God bless.